It had a beginning, and it had a middle, and it had an end, as Marilyn Frasca described the 1994 Faculty Institute, drawing from the landscape. I'm Jin Darney, and I'd like to tell you the story of Evergreen's Vancouver program, of the faculty and students, of why the program mattered to the college, and what it accomplished. The beginning. The Evergreen State College, founded in 1969 to provide an alternative education, was part of the educational reform movements of the 1960s. The college opened in 1972 with full-time, team-taught interdisciplinary programs using narrative evaluations rather than grades and structured without departments, tenure, or faculty rank. This all happened just as the college-age demographics fell. Worried by low enrollments, Evergreen opened several off-campus programs in the early years of the college. Tacoma in 1972, Port Angeles in 1975, and Vancouver, Washington in 1976. These programs were designed to satisfy a long-standing need for upper division education and to disappear when that need was met. This is what happened in Port Angeles, but in Tacoma and Vancouver, the programs had a longer life as successive cohorts of students entered the college. In Vancouver, the program began on the Clark College campus as guests of the community college, eager for an upper division partner. Students entered with an associate's degree, or the equivalent. Unlike students on the main campus, Vancouver students were primarily working adults, so faculty designed a full-time program with part-time options based on the college mission of active and collaborative learning. I joined the faculty in 1978, just as we moved into a 19th century house on Vancouver's Officers Row. Students participated in a halftime seminar based on an annual theme and selected from one of three concentrations: management, led by Bill Bruner; human services, led by Justino Balderrama; or humanities, my area. Each thread had an introductory core and several electives. After graduation, students continued in their jobs or took on new responsibilities in the community, organizing volunteers in the YWCA program for battered women, managing the local Planned Parenthood office, establishing one of the Northwest's first microbreweries, and further study in law, teaching, social work, counseling, management, and labor studies. Students in Vancouver entered with a wide variety of preparations and for an equally wide variety of reasons: to complete the degree, to prepare for graduate school, to qualify for job advancement. They brought a diversity of expertise, experience, and community engagement to their studies. Many had dropped out of college years earlier to marry and start a family, to work full-time, and they were eager to complete their education. We were the only public bachelor's program in Southwest Washington, so many students came to Evergreen Vancouver not because they desired the team-taught interdisciplinary programs, for which the college was already famous in 1976, but because we were the only upper division game in town. Our initial task, therefore, was to help the students understand the value of a liberal arts education in any profession or occupation, and the value of collaborative learning, in other words, to convert them. We offered concentrations in areas easily understood as job preparation, and students were required to participate in thematic offerings that brought all of the disciplines together. The middle. In 1985-86, for example, our annual theme was community studies. Our interdisciplinary program employed sociology, literature, history, and statistics to examine questions of community. We required all students to take statistics, a decision that challenged faculty and students alike. Bill Bruner led the way with creative lectures leading us to the principals, and I was the co-learner for the program, leading a discussion group problem session. We used a text integrating statistical analysis and the application of the analyses to real-life problems. I did all of the work along with the students and to help them write the memos explaining the conclusions to the problems. The combination of statistics and writing helped all students understand the importance of each. The real proof, however, were the strong scores for all the students at the end of the term and their understanding of the ways that data can and cannot help answer questions. We came to know each student well, since we worked with her or him for 2 to 4 years. We could advise them about offerings, knowing their past work and their future needs. We could introduce each at graduation with personal reflections on their time at Evergreen Vancouver. Student self-evaluations reveal that they left the program with a greater appreciation for the diversity of opinion in the community, with an ability to read closely and carefully and to discuss their ideas, and with a newfound confidence in their intellectual, organizational, and collaborative abilities. Some faculty in the program were regulars: Justina Balderrama, Bill Bruner, Lucia Harrison, Frank Motley, and I. From the beginning, Olympia faculty commuted 110 miles to rotate through the Vancouver-based teaching teams to bring additional disciplinary focus to the program or to take time off from life in Olympia. We also hired several adjunct faculty each year. In 1984, I was appointed the half-time director for the Vancouver campus, responsible for recruitment, community relations, hiring adjunct faculty, and teaching. In 1986, both Evergreen's strategic plan and the legislature decided that the Evergreen program would close and that Washington State University would become the four-year institution in Southwest Washington. The end. Evergreen Vancouver students fought the decision and managed to delay the closure for a year, but by 1988, it was a done deal. What happened? Evergreen's commitment to the program waxed and waned with the state of enrollment on the main campus. Our budget was a line item in the college budget, making us visible, and included charges that academic programs on the main campus did not have to bear, such as secretarial support, utilities, rent, and travel for Olympia faculty. Vancouver faculty answered each item of the college's reasons for closing the program with logic and clarity, only to be met with new objections. It was clear that the decision had been made, as they say. We designed a smooth transition so as not to leave any of our students in the lurch. We left Vancouver in the order in which our children graduated from high school. Justina left the first year, Bill in 1989, and I left in 1990, the last year of our presence in Vancouver. We are proud of the caring and professional way we managed the transition and resisted the urge to transfer WSU's telephones to the elevators. At the last graduation, Bill Bruner said, "At about this point, the lights would be coming up and the credits rolling. We've just shown an Academy Award-winning film with an excellent cast, an expert crew, and a fine audience." At the same graduation ceremonies, Justino looked ahead to the stories we will all tell about Evergreen's time in Vancouver. "It's a very sad thing to see Evergreen Vancouver die," he said. "Now begins Evergreen Vancouver the myth, and I hope you tell good stories." But that was not to be the end. The Vancouver program and its faculty have made a lasting impact on the college as a whole. The program we designed was a model for the beginning discussions of Olympia campus evening and weekend studies, and the faculty played important roles on the Olympia campus. Duke Keene, an early rotation from Olympia, became a stalwart presence on the Tacoma campus. Lori Meeker, an adjunct faculty in film, is now a permanent faculty in Olympia and played a major role in the recent move to faculty unionization. Bill Bruner teaches management and business and served 8 years as the dean of the library, as well as a stint as interim budget dean. I served 8 years as academic dean for curriculum and taught literature and film before and after my rotation in administration. What was it about the time in Vancouver that led to such leadership? We really were a team, concerned together about all of the students' learning. We worked together well through hard times and good ones, and we respected each other's disciplines and areas of interest and expertise. Because we knew the students so well, we could design a program just for them, and we assessed each program to help plan the next years. We were somewhat on our own, 110 miles away from academic advising, registration, the library, so we learned about the college as a whole and came to see how it worked or didn't work to help students, and we knew the key staff members who could help the students and the program. All of these conditions served us well on the main campus and were reflected in our interest in the welfare of the college as a whole. The Vancouver program lasted only 14 years. It was a success, however, because it demonstrated that the Evergreen Way could succeed with adult learners anywhere, and because the Vancouver program clearly served as a model for the core values of the college.